Heart. You gotta have heart. Miles and miles of heart.
What is heart? Heart is running through a return man when the game is on the line. Heart is giving everything you have in practice, day after day. Heart is finding the strength to run down the field one more time when you can barely breathe. The heart in me pumps Husker Red.
Welcome, everybody, to a brand new, triumphant, and sorrowful episode of the Five Heart Podcast. My name is Greg Mahochko, and for the final time, I get to introduce the tripod. Oh, start tearing up, guys. I'm not even joking. The Five Heart Podcast, by the way, of course, sponsored by Coronation and part of the SB Nation Podcast Network. I am Greg Mahochko, joined for the last time by Hoss Reuter, and for the not last time, because he's not going anywhere, our founder and fearless leader, John Dam Johnson. I'm all off my game. I knew that the emotions would come. I didn't know they'd come right away. Welcome, gentlemen. John, since you're sticking around, you first. How was your week?
It's been fairly decent. You know, I mean, it's been another week of waiting to see what's going to happen for the fall, if we're going to actually have a football season or not, hoping and dreaming and seeing more indications that things might be returning to normal, of course, until 2 weeks from now when we all start screaming about the infections on the rise and mass riots around the nation and that alien spaceship that's doomed to crash into the Statue of Liberty on June 14th and make us realize that we're all just living in a simulation and there ain't a damn thing we can do about it.
So you're doing pretty good?
Yeah.
All right. And
you've been hanging out with Randy Quaid?
You know, I like that guy.
And Hoss?
The Independence Day reference. Yes, Greg.
You know, wait, I had to have an announcement of my own. I am now over 1 week without alcohol, or I'm sorry, one full month without alcohol. Did I say that last week?
Yeah.
Okay,
congratulations, man.
Which is hilarious because we are celebrating properly. Hoss has his, as always, pride and joy Coors Banquet, and my wife, who went to the store, she's been doing the grocery shopping at like 6 o'clock on Sunday mornings. She said, "Do you need anything?" I said, "I need one Coors Banquet." I said, "I don't want many of them because I don't want to drink them." I said, "Just give me one." So she got me the biggest gosh darn one she could find. 24 ounces of pure Colorado Thunder. And we're doing it for you.
Coors Banquet?
Yeah, they sell them in 24 ounces. I bought two on the way home from work today.
What the hell? It's kind of weird.
We're doing this.
Crack that thing open.
I just did. This is our farewell. I don't know how much actual Husker news we're going to have in this episode. Bear with us. We're just going to, you know, a lot of people from Coronation want to, you know, and I say this, this is the wrong word, but I don't know of a better word, eulogize Hoss announcement came down last week. This is Hoss's not just final episode of the Five Heart Podcast, but this is, you know, he's putting on his big boy pants and he's stepping away from blogging and he's going to concentrate on being a full-time grad student at the University of Nebraska Lincoln. With hopes and dreams and of being part of the, you know, Nebraska program. And obviously, you know, we'll say this again at the end, but we wish him well. But just turning back the clock a few years now, when and look, I think we mentioned it last week. We've talked about it before. When Brian went in the hospital, one of the things that I wanted to do was, I was like, look, if I don't keep the content going, Brian's going to kill me, you know, because Brian was always, John, you know this as well as anybody, and certainly Jill, because she's going to join us here in a little bit, you know, and she's stepped up in a big way. But Brian was about getting the content out there, you know, getting, whether it's about keeping the site numbers up or anything like that, the clicks and everything else. Brian just loved getting the content out there, and he was a big part of getting that content out there, but also making sure, hey, who's, you know, what was it, the publishing schedule for the week that I know Jill really, you know, has had her hands on for the last couple of years. But he's like, who's doing what and when? And, you know, of course, we've heard the story now a few times over the last couple of years. Brian was my door into coordination. Brian was Haas's, you know, he opened the door to Haas and so many to come to coordination. So when Brian went to the hospital and he was unable to record, I'm not even sure if we did an episode that week. I think we did. But certainly after, you know, I know we did, because Haas, you even said, hey, I'll step in, you know, for Brian while he's kind of unable to. And we didn't expect at the time, and we had no idea, and, you know, heartbreakingly so, that it was going to be, you know, become a full-time position. We all thought the Brian was going to kick out, bounce back, and you know, be his, I mean, we talk about John being a curmudgeon, but, you know, John can't hold a candle to Brian when Brian was fired up. You just stay out of the way. But we never expected Haas to be a permanent fixture of, you know, the Five Heart podcast. And then John decided he wanted to come on once, and then John kind of never went away. So what was a two-man show became the tripod.
That's a lot of people.
and we're better for it. I wanted to make sure that, you know how much we love and appreciate you. But Haas, I think, and I don't know, you know, I don't think I've ever even told this to John, but there's a shot. I mean, there's a chance that without you stepping in and filling that void, be it temporary, and then I think you even said to me right after Brian's passing, is, hey, I'll step in until you can find somebody else. I think without you taking that step, I'm not sure the Five Heart podcast would be here, you know, because with Brian being my door in, you know, and then, you know, when the conduit to your, you know, access kind of, in this case, passes, but, you know, passes on, moves on, you kind of, because I don't live in Nebraska, because I don't live in Lincoln or Omaha, because I can't, you know, and I know, John, you don't either, but you have the opportunity to get down there a little bit more frequently than I do, certainly. But I still feel like I'm an outsider. And so, Haas, without you stepping in and, you know, kind of pulling, I feel like pulling me back and bringing me back, you know, kind of full heart, you know, to coordination, I'm not sure that I'd still be around. So I got to thank you for that first and foremost.
You're welcome. And it's been a pleasure. And like you said, I thought that it was just going to be a temporary thing. And then I think a big part of it becoming a permanent thing was how eventful that season was in 2017 after Brian's passing. I mean, we were dealing with, you know, all of a sudden we lost to Wisconsin, lost to Ohio State, we were just getting our asses ran out of the stadium. Riley was getting fired, you know, the rumors about Frost getting hired, you know, ramped up. I mean, it must have been sometime leading up to the Frost hiring that to me it was like, yeah, this is probably going to be a permanent fixture for the next few years of my life, you know. Sitting down once a week, talking Husker football, Husker sports, God knows what else. And it's crazy how, excuse me, Coors Banquet burps are really working. It's crazy how fast time went. You know, it seems like just yesterday I was filling in on here. Kind of just went for, I always felt like a guest there for a while and then just really settled in, got comfortable, you know, being on here. Those first few podcasts of me being on here were probably absolutely atrocious. But, you know, you got to learn, you know, if you're going to be good at something, and I'm not saying I'm good at this, best way to do it is just by learning.
I think the moment that galvanized us, you know, and you'd been on for a while, but, and we joke about it now, but after that Minnesota game, you know, mm-hmm. when you were like, and that started a whole new dynamic because it used to be, you know, we'll record midweek and by and large, I mean, it's Wednesday night now, but we, even during football season, we would record midweek. We'd spend about half the show or a little bit more talking about what we saw this past weekend. We spend, you know, 10 or 15 minutes talking about what we expect or hope to see, you know, the coming week. And right after that, you're like, let's record now. The hot takes are going to fly. And so because of that, even though it didn't happen overnight, but especially after we, you know, formally became part of the ESPN Nation podcast network, and with John's help and John's leadership, we started doing these, you know, coronation reaction episodes, you know, either late Saturday afternoon or Sunday night after people all had a chance to watch the game, and, you know, just more content. And that would have been, that would have made Brian very happy.
I remember one podcast that for some reason really sticks out in my mind was after we lost to Wisconsin in 2018, Frost's first year. And I think we might have recorded like the next night, Sunday night, for our reaction show, just talking about how we thought that there was a chance for us to rebound from being 0-5 to go into a bowl because we were that encouraged by what we saw against Wisconsin. And looking back on it, we didn't, you know, we still finished 4-8, but damn, we came close, you know, to doing that. I mean, like, you know, last second field goal against Iowa, you know, we were up against Ohio State at halftime, and had a chance to extend it to a 28-16 lead, but couldn't get it done. And Ohio State came back. Like, we both, those reaction shows, we both saw the potential that was there, you know, with a freshman Adrian Martinez and Frost's first year. I don't know why that one sticks out to me. The time that we had, what's his name? Jeff Hauser from the Ralphie Report on in 2018. I think that was the first episode that John was on with us. And from there, it just became a fixture. Because John told us about how much he hated Colorado and Bill McCartney and the 94 game day wedding of his, is it your brother, or your wife's brother? You know. So.
My wife's brother.
Yeah. So, yeah, those are some of the ones that stand out to me. It, as much as this sucks, and this is just a sign of how down the football program has been, I don't remember a lot of the good podcasts because they're really like good mood podcasts because, well, there hasn't really been many of them, you know.
No, there hasn't, unfortunately.
No, that's a fair point, too, because if you think, you know, we haven't had a winning season since 16?
Yeah, since 16. So, and let me tell you, if we end up going to a bowl this year after I step out of the five-part podcast, I'm sorry. I'm never coming back.
Because if you come back and if we go to a bowl game and you come back and we don't go to a bowl game, I'm going to hunt your fucking ass down and kill you.
You're the most wanted man in Nebraska.
Right.
So we sent out to. We're going to be joined here, as I think I mentioned at the top of the show, by other coordination contributors. You know, I'm looking forward to Jill and Paul coming in. We're all on Zoom. This is going to be just a crazy show. It's going to be my favorite type of show. We haven't done a show like this since we got together with Ryan and Pat from the Big Red Cobcast, and they're my favorite types of shows because I get to lay out, turn my microphone down, be interrupted by my son because it's almost his bedtime, and let everybody else do the talking. So, but I'm excited. Before everybody gets here, Haas, you know that you always have friends at coordination. You have my cell phone number. Should you ever need anything, there's a James Taylor song. I'm going to let John sing it.
Okay. And it would be what?
You've got a friend.
No.
What about the Toy Story one?
You got a friend in me.
Oh, God,
Michael.
You got a friend in me.
And
after last week, nobody in Omaha is listening anymore. And then went to breast everybody else.
I looked at the comments on the Facebook post, and yeah, they weren't too happy.
I stay out of the comment section. What they said, I'm curious.
One guy was like, "We should call an Omaha XFL team the High Buys because they don't last very long."
Oh, those, yeah. You're right. I did see those.
One of the biggest things that Brian taught me. Stay out of the comments section on your articles and on Facebook. And guess what? I did not listen to them. Right. I would actually get offended at a few people for what they would say.
So Paul has joined us, at least according to the computer. But Paul, are you there?
I am here. I don't have a webcam on this computer, so
that's okay. You are forgiven. Well, so Paul, you said you wanted to come on and do a lot of swearing.
Well, yeah, that seems to be what I do best.
You're here.
All right, so this is your last chance to swear at Haas.
I don't swear at Haas. Why would I swear at Haas?
Well, because he's leaving.
I saved that for John.
John is not only our fearless leader, he's also our whipping boy.
You
need to swear at him at least once. Jesus.
Hey, are we recording?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We're live.
We are.
Oh, I mean, okay. We're not live. We're, you know, live to tape, as they say. I should have worn my Through These Gates shirt, John.
You should have.
Through These Gates, a documentary from Lincoln native Ryan Tweedy. You can get that at, yes. Are you lifting up your boobs? Your saggy, flaggy man tits?
Isn't that guy Ryan Tweedy like wanted in all 93 counties in the state of Nebraska?
Probably.
Wanted for people to buy him a beer. That's what he's wanted for.
You're far kinder to Tweedy. Love you, Tweedy, than John is.
True.
Yes, that's because we're sworn enemies.
I remember acting all mad when they left to go to Husker Max, and honestly, I couldn't care less. It was like, do you? Yeah.
I think it was a good. I mean, their market reach is exhaustive, but from my experience on Husker Max, which went back a lot further than Corn Nation, I didn't see how the culture was going to mesh very well. Yeah. And I think they gave it the old college try for a couple of years, but I could see how that relationship would fray significantly and rapidly, and it apparently did. So
Husker Max and Husker Board are some strange places in the internet of Husker
Board. Husker Board still exists?
Unfortunately, yes.
I haven't been to Husker Board in like 15 years, but I still stop by Husker Max from time to time, and I don't think the demographic has gotten any younger overall. I still see the same names that I remember from like 1996. So
bunch of Bobs from Brainerd.
Yeah, and there's the Run the Damn Ball guy, and I don't know.
Well acquainted with that crowd,
Paul. Can you enlighten us, because you and if I'm, you know, sharing secrets, cut me off at any time, but you told the Slack group that you had spiked a little bit of a fever, and as a precaution, you wanted to go get the test done. And since, you know, we don't really have a ton of Husker news to talk about, and we're mostly sending Haas away on a Viking funeral. Tell us
lighting him on fire.
Well, no, we're.
Oh man, you see this fair skin? I don't tan. I'm burnt.
No, well, you got to think. It's a Viking funeral, but I'm the one with the flaming arrow that's trying to shoot the boat. So you're in good hands, knowing that I'm going to miss. So
how about you just you're sending me off on the hero's journey?
Yeah, we'll do that too. but Paul, I just didn't know if you wanted to share a little bit of insight into the testing procedure that you had to endure.
Well, real quickly, I spiked a fever on over the weekend. I think it was Sunday, and which is not that unusual for me, honestly. But then I started getting concerned about it. On Saturday. But I started getting concerned about it on Sunday because I never get sick. I mean, worth noting at all. And then by Monday, it still hadn't gone away. And I was starting to get pretty concerned about this. So on Tuesday morning, I went, and I am fortunate, let's say privileged, due to economic standing and geography and melanin concentrations, to be in an area that has plenty of testing. Anywhere, any medical facility I wanted to go to would just give me a test. So I did, and apparently got one of the last ones where they scrape your back of your brain.
You had the nice frontal lobe massage.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah. I think the metaphor I used was like the ancient Egyptians with the opening of the mouth ceremony where they scooped the brain out with that hook. So that's what it felt like.
Well, it was unpleasant.
Yeah, I'm not relishing. Oh, thankfully I probably won't have to go through that again. So,
John, in your younger years, how many of those ancient Egyptian brain pulls did you have to perform?
Well, I did hundreds, actually.
Actually, I want to ask John a question. We've never brought this up on the podcast since all this started. John, since you're a time traveler, transcending, bend space and time, how was it being on the front lines of the Spanish flu epidemic in 1980? Do you have any stories that you could tell us, any parallels that you're seeing to today?
Well, it was the same as it is now. People argued about everything. People politicized everything. People wouldn't wear a mask. They wouldn't wear a mask. They got tired of being socially distanced, although we didn't call it then. Human beings never change. We're all the same people, you know, all the time. You're all just like, you know, scraping brains out with a hook, you know. 300 years ago, 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, 5,000 years ago, and then this last week with Paul.
We should also mention that he's been sitting here waiting patiently to be introduced. Nate has joined the call. He joined a few minutes ago. Nate, what's going on, man? Where are you at in the world these days?
Yeah, I'm still in Guadalajara, Mexico for now as well. The coronavirus stuff, I was actually supposed to fly back last month, but then I ended up sticking around here, but I have a flight out Mexico City in a couple of weeks. So I'll make my way over there, and then I'm hoping my flight doesn't get canceled.
Are you in jail? Because no. It's the same fucking room. It's been the same room for like 3 weeks now. You're in jail, aren't you? You're just not telling anyone.
Are we your one phone call?
Jails don't have a comfortable bed like this one.
I thought that was just like a scuff on the drywall.
There's a light and there's a light there.
Oh yeah, no, I can see it.
Scuff on the drywall.
How's life sound?
Yeah, the thing is it hasn't really ever been bad here. But in the last couple of weeks, there's been because I'm in Guadalajara, but there's been outbreak in Mexico City the last couple of weeks, and it's starting to you're kind of seeing similar situations, kind of what's happening there to what was happening, I guess, in the U.S. before. And I guess it was only a matter of time because the mayor of Mexico City wasn't taking it very seriously and the president of Mexico wasn't taking it very seriously. Whereas the governor in Jalisco, where Guadalajara is, he kind of took it seriously from the beginning. And I guess tried to implement some rules, and not everyone was following it, but I guess enough people were following it to the point where it didn't become like an outbreak or something like that. And I think for the last month, over a month ago, like if you went outside, you had to wear a mask. Obviously most people seem to have been following that rule. So.
Good.
I'll say that going back to that 1918 Spanish flu thing, there is always one commonality that you have with human beings whenever something like this happens. And it's the, it doesn't matter when it is, either the Black Plague, whatever that, the medieval times, Black Plague, bubonic plague, the Spanish flu, the, you know, the Egyptian shit that went through and killed shitloads of their people back in 2500 BC under Ramses.
That was called God.
People come up with the dumbest ass cures for stuff, and people believe them because they're so desperate to eliminate their fears. I mean, you know, drink bleach, inject yourself with disinfectant, shove a live snake up your ass, put leeches on your
or don't inject yourself.
You know, they come up with the most bizarre cures, and you see these pockets of people around coming up with this stuff, you know.
Hey, John.
Yes.
You mentioned leeches, and I don't want to break the news to you, but actually using leeches has a very real medicinal purpose, and they still are used today in certain they're actually sterile.
Okay, well, they're not used for viruses. They're used for cleaning off dead skin, right?
Yeah, and some other things, but yeah, we still use.
Are they used?
Now I realize that bleeding them to balance, you know, bleeding someone to balance the humors has probably sort of gone by the wayside, at least in most advanced countries. But it's, I don't know. We have a president that suggested we drink bleach, so what the fuck? I don't know.
It happened.
We haven't advanced as far as I hope.
No. You know, with Nate talking about people, you know, the response down in Mexico and John saying about whenever something like this happens, people do the same things. It reminds me of a quote from The Waterboy. Ain't all mamas the same? Ain't all people the same? You know, it transcends everything. People do stupid things. People talk about drinking bleach. Well, didn't that happen in Iran, actually? People were drinking bleach.
No, I think that happened in Missouri. Ryan, that's actually a good transition to why we're all gathered here today to pay our respects to Haas. I think that any future coach who can readily quote the Waterboy probably has a promising future ahead of him in college football. And I just hope that you will remember us less, you know, poor unfortunate souls as you embark on your glorious new career.
I definitely will. Anytime someone from Corn Nation needs an interview, you know, or a guest on the podcast, Greg, John, you know, or anything, you know, I'd be happy to oblige.
Well, I mean,
you're wanting to go through the SID.
Listen, you're going to have to up it. I mean, if you got Mario Verduzco over there quoting like Aristotle and Plato and Socrates and shit like
Machiavelli.
That, you're over here with the water boy, dude. You're going to have to read a lot more.
Do you want me to recite?
No.
The Stoic teachings of Marcus Aurelius?
No.
Yes. No. Yes.
If you do, you have to do it in Latin.
Oh, I might need another 4 years of school.
Or at least another Coors Banquet to fake it.
But I got another 12 in this 24 silo.
I better start drinking.
Yeah, here's a guy nursing over there. No, personally, I think being a part of Corn Nation gave me a greater respect for sports media, even though I can't stand how every sports journalist is obsessed with Bruce Springsteen. That's just something that really irritates me and bothers me. But sports journalism, like, it's a pretty thankless task. You have coaches and players that don't want to talk to you, and then the people who are consuming your product are just going to shoot holes in it the entire time, you know, try to piss you off in the comments section.
And there went the rest of our listenership.
Well, that's why you never go to the comments.
Our three listeners?
Yeah, you have fucking 10 or 20 of them.
I heard this on a podcast I was listening to earlier today, and this says, and they said, one of the co-hosts said, look, 20% of the world is like bad people, and somehow they're all on Twitter. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody on Twitter is a bad person, but if you're a bad person, there's a 100% chance you're on Twitter in some capacity.
Or tweeting more on Twitter.
Oh, what's Mike Ditka say? What do you say about Buddy Ryan. He's an empty tin can, and empty tin cans make the most noise.
Empty barrel.
I like that one better.
But we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll have more of the Five Heart Podcast. After this, don't go anywhere.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prof G Pod, we bring you insights from blue flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds 4 times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
I got to tell you, I started looking more at Instagram and all this stuff on it. My God, people just post fucking everything, don't they? They don't even have to be that interesting. It's like,
the regular accounts, yeah. But yeah, the travel accounts, they're very fashion. They're very meticulous and... Yeah.
John, I'm shocked that you haven't found like the Discover page on Instagram yet, and you know, gone digging around.
Yeah, I started following all the Instagram models.
Yeah, slide into their DMs.
Yeah, ask them if they want to be on the podcast. Yeah, find some Husker, famous Husker Instagram models.
there you go, John. You get the perspective of Instagram.
There are two Husker Instagram models that I know of. Who's that? Who's the famous one?
Gabrielle Union.
Yeah, Gabby Union, and the other is Lil Red. So,
I don't know if I've ever shared this opinion on the Five Heart Podcast, but since this is the last one that I'll be on, I just want to say I have an irrational hatred for the Lil Red mascot. Want to see that go away.
You know why? Because you're a bastard.
You know what? Get rid of
recording this, Greg. Have you started recording this, you this fuckhead?
I never stopped. I was just about to welcome our listeners back to the second half of the show. But I haven't said anything for 5 minutes.
There was a first half?
Yeah, Patrick.
Is that when everybody's trying to get on?
No, it's when I cried a little bit.
Oh, that's like every other
5 weeks, so it works. You know, I've never understood people that hate Little Red because I always consider them people that
just—it's a blow-up doll.
They want everything.
It's a blow-up doll.
There's
no purpose to it.
Whoa,
it's cute. It's fun. Children love it. It bounces around.
That's the only reason it's a mascot.
Anatomically correct orifices.
But it's a blow. That's what it is.
Welcome back to the Five Heart Podcast. Greg Mahochko here along with John Dam Johnston. And for the last time with his silo of Coors Banquet, Haas Reuter. I also have a silo of Coors Banquet. I've been drinking it while everybody else has been talking. We hope that you enjoyed the intermission there with the return of Nate and Paul and the addition of Patrick. And Jill is here too, although we can't hear her because she's muted her mic. Oh, there she is. Hi, Jill.
Hello.
And a thumbs up.
I don't have a Coors Banquet, but I picked a different yellow beer.
That's approved.
I have a banana.
And he also has the fruit.
Thanks for sharing, John.
I got Bob Marley.
This is going weird places, Patrick.
Oh, my God.
You've got long hair and a bandana.
John, while we're on the topic of Lil Red, I also want to say we need to get rid of the Steve Peterson-inspired Herbie Husker and go back to old school Herbie.
Well, how old school are you talking?
I'm talking like the one in the 90s. I don't want to go the weird Harry Husker, you know, one.
Oh, no. Harry's classic.
The paper mache corn cob thing.
Yeah, the thing from the 50s.
That's better than Little Red.
The corn cob man that haunts my nightmares. Yes. Yes, that is totally what we need to be stalking the sidelines. You know what? We can put him on the visitor side, and he'll just walk up and stare at him.
Yeah, maybe when we're playing.
Sacrifice a chicken or something.
Maybe we're playing.
Bite the head off a bat.
The corn cob man can distract Jeff Brom from getting in a play call on 4th and 1, you know, at the end of the game, and we can finally win.
The reason why we need Little Red is for the first time. Okay.
But he bounces on his head.
Yeah, I mean, look at our mascots. For God's sakes, what do? They do nothing. Okay? The other one does literally nothing. He goes around and he points at people. I mean, when you watch like Minnesota's Goldie Gopher turn into a maniac and run around with people and have a ball with people, and then you look at our mascot and it's kind of like, oh my God, don't do anything funny because some fucking person might get offended.
You know what, John? I think you're a closet Minnesota Golden Gophers fan.
I think you should go out and look at other football programs and look at what their programs are doing to keep their fan base interested, because they have to work harder because our fan base just shows up. And then
we need to sell beer for 50
years, and they're expecting the same fucking church service they get every week. And if it changes in any slight variation, it's like that. To shit ourselves and make phone calls.
We need to go get
the University of Colorado has probably the hardest working mascot, and nobody goes to their games.
Yeah, but that guy's having fun.
When I was in Boulder for
and
the game,
he does a good job.
Seeing Ralphie run onto the field is hands down one of the coolest moments of being in a college football game. As much as I despise CU, like, it was awesome. Mm-hmm. But, John, how would you feel if we banned anyone in the stadium over the age of 40 to make it not a church service?
We could go get Gritty on the free agents market.
Yes.
I got 2 more years left.
Yep.
Gritty has to be the best all-sports mascot out there. I don't know who is running his social media accounts and sitting inside the costume, but the stuff that they come up with for him is just flat out amazing. And it's a Flyers mascot, right?
Yeah, the Philadelphia Flyers.
Yeah, great. No fuck about the Flyers. I know that Gritty is worth the trip price of a ticket. And I would go just to see Gritty. And that's the kind of mascot we need. One that just doesn't give a fuck.
So would the Nebraska version of Gritty be a guy who's in a ghillie suit who's spent the past 10 days in beer camp in mid-November?
It could work. Yeah. Something
we'd
like
call
that.
Him, we'd call him corny.
Reeks of Bush Light and, like, Skull Wintergreen. Yeah.
What mascot was it in 2010 that it attacked Ohio State's Brutus on the field? Oh, that's right. It was the University of Ohio.
That's a Frank Solich doing right there.
I missed that one.
We need a mascot like that.
It was in the middle of the. It was pregame. It was right in the middle of the national anthem. Everybody was still, and the Ohio mascot, the Bobcat, came up behind Brutus Buckeye and just tackled him.
Well, it's Ohio State. They deserve it.
I shouldn't laugh because it did happen in the national anthem, but.
That was kind of a foul. But was it a good hit?
Oh, like this,
I think he got him during the intro.
Was it like
he came out and attacked
him? Levante David good?
Levante David on Silas Red, 4th and 1, Penn State.
Rufus, the Ohio University Bobcat, took off on a dead run from the 15-yard line and tackled Ohio State's Brutus Buckeye at the 35. As Brutus and several cheerleaders led the Buckeyes onto the field. Moments later, several Ohio State players kneeled on the goal line in prayer. Rufus attacked Brutus again.
Is this a mascot or a real bobcat?
Well, here's more of the story, if I remember right. the guy who was in the costume the previous year was the mascot, but had dropped out or got kicked out of school. So he wasn't even technically a student at the time when he was suited up as the Bobcat. So the school couldn't even do anything against him.
Damn.
That guy just got legendary status. I hope he doesn't ever have to pay for a beer in his hometown.
It's all about picking your shots.
Oh, I'll buy someone beer for the rest of their life if they go deflate a little red cop. She poke a hole in it.
But maybe Little Red could tackle somebody. Maybe Little Red could bounce on somebody else's head on top of their head. You know what I mean?
They'd bounce off of somebody if they tried to tackle them.
There'd still be momentum.
Oh, these are the types of hard-hitting conversations that I'm going to miss. Meanwhile,
go ahead, Paul. I had a really great subtle troll of Ohio State on Twitter today, and nobody picked up on it.
Well, it's probably too damn subtle.
Well, and it was this. I was trying to make this poignant statement about 100,000 dead Americans. So, naturally, I chose a picture of the horseshoe to illustrate people that were alive and now are all dead, and nobody got it. And I don't know why. I don't know. Too soon, maybe? I don't know. But, man, I was trying to troll Ohio State fans and make a political statement, and maybe the two didn't work together. But
hey, so speaking about filling up stadiums or the lack thereof, I think the number we heard earlier this week from Bill Moose is the loss of revenue could be around $27 million if Memorial Stadium can't be filled up with cheering members of the Sea of Red this fall. Anybody else hear about that? Want to discuss that in the realm of news this week? I mean, we haven't really talked to any Husker news because we're in a fucking quarantine.
I think $27 million was the number that Chris Heady from the Omaha World Herald came up with, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's from the Chris Heady article.
Oh.
Yeah.
So was that not from the athletic department? I thought we had a number. I'm sorry.
No, I don't think so. I think that they are just this, you know, I'm guessing it's going to be more than $27 million depending upon how many people they get in there.
I'm just going to keep drinking my beer. You guys talk. I don't know. Right,
there you go.
Anymore.
Good job, Greg. You drink that beer, you son of a bitch.
Fans in the stands, fans out of the stands. I don't care. I just want football.
Just play it.
Yeah,
I just don't see. There was a doctor, virologist. I can't remember from where or what show I had it on, but she was making the She made the point, especially talking about sports, that one of the worst things, or the second worst thing you can be doing, is yelling in a group next to sneezing. It actually when you yell, it aerosolizes more of your guts out into the air than sneezing. And hearing that just made me think that there's just no way that, unless you are going to put 5,000 people and literally have cones of silence hanging down around them with about an 8-foot radius, I just don't see how you can safely put people in the stands. Now, maybe we can somehow pull off fielding a team, although that's going to get really interesting, because when one team has somebody test positive, that's going to screw up 10 other teams' schedules. But I just don't see how we pull this off. But you guys, I don't know. Fight me.
Because there's billions of dollars at stake.
Yeah, I got that.
Well, there you go. That's your answer right there. But, you know, money trumps everything.
It probably does.
Everybody saw the videos at the Lake of the Ozarks with all the people in the pools and all the people squished around each other.
Well, down at the Lake of the Ozarks, I think COVID-19 is about the 10th worst thing you could catch in that water.
Well,
weeks. Have you ever been there before?
Where I learned to water ski.
Yeah. Party Cove, the water's like iridescent.
It was pretty nice when I was there, but that was like 35 years ago. So.
I was there, 2 years ago in the summer of 18. That's where I sustained this fantastic injury to my hand.
Don't put that away.
Yeah. It was a two-part injury. First part came when I dropped a loaded barbell on it at the gym. And then the displaced fracture came when I was on a boat at the Lake of the Ozarks 2 days later.
Yeah. For those at home who can't see this, one of Rob's fingers is off.
It bends in the wrong direction.
That's it. At like when I'm like flexing it to be straight, and then when I just relax it. Yeah.
You know what it is? He actually has a finger that's running a fly route.
If the center's right here,
it's a post
route. If the center's over here, it's a flag route.
Yeah. Let's just say he'll never be able to give you the finger. Or you'll never be able to tell that he's giving you the finger.
There we go.
It'll look a little funny.
This was always my good one, too, for the morning commute on I-80 into UNO. Driving, someone cuts me off, I get around them, flipping that one. Now it's just, they're probably repulsed by it now, not even mad.
You should throw them the broken finger. Or like the odd-looking finger, just to throw them off their game, and maybe they'll run into a light pole or something.
Fair point. So
I got blocked by a number of Iowa fans this week.
I
really don't even know why. They're sensitive about this. So the sellout streak. So how does, obviously the one thing that I think we can all agree on is that we are not going to fill Memorial Stadium to capacity 7 times this season.
I've been thinking about though that as well.
How do we calculate that?
I think you still have a sellout even if you have, let's say they do half capacity. Maybe they don't even do that much. Maybe they do a third capacity. Well, if they only sell 30,000 tickets and 30,000 tickets are sold, that's still considered a sellout, right? It's not considered a capacity. It's just considered a sellout.
Are we sure? Is there like, does the NCAA have a definition of a sellout?
Yeah, selling all the tickets, selling all the available tickets.
Yeah. I think that if you talk to like a concert promoter, they consider a sellout 90%. I don't know. I will say this. People take this to all sorts of extremes that, oh, my God, there's an empty seat there. There wasn't a sellout just because they want to bitch about stuff.
Here's the thing. I think Iowa fans are more obsessed with the sellout than Nebraska fans are.
Well, yeah, definitely, because Kinnick is just about the same size as Memorial Stadium, or at least it was before we added a couple thousand extra seats.
Yeah, I think
but they sell
new
it out maybe twice per year. So
it's not a bad stadium. That's about the nicest thing I'll ever say about Iowa. Like, easy in and out.
Kinnick's capacity is 69,250.
I thought it was 79,000. That's impressive. Okay.
Yeah, I thought it was around 70.
Okay.
I think Wisconsin's is close to ours, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they have to copy us.
And every two years, Kinnick is sold out when Nebraska visits, right?
Probably Nebraska and someone out of the East Division.
And Iowa State. And typically Michigan or Ohio State, whichever one of those is in town, will sell out.
Or Penn State.
Penn State, yeah.
Camp Randall's at 80,000.
Those fans will travel.
See, my fear was that there was some kind of official definition of a sellout, which is to say, like, you actually have ticket sales for the capacity of the stadium, because that's kind of the way Nebraska has always looked at it. Hey, our official capacity is 92,000. We sold 92,000 tickets. Now, honestly, there's usually 2,000 or more than that in the stadium, but that's how many we sold. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see. Personally, I think that we should just not count this year and just put an asterisk by it and say Yeah, it was a weird year.
I agree with that.
I agree with that too.
No, you know, like, because I think no matter what we end up, how the season starts, that I think there's a good. I think it seems to me unlikely that we'll get to the point that we're playing bowl games at the end of the season, especially if we've got universities that are planning to empty out the campus before Thanksgiving in anticipation of the virus coming back. It's going to be tough to justify bringing hundreds of thousands of people together in stadiums if we're not having if we've emptied out colleges intentionally early.
We also got to look at bowl games from the standpoint of what kind of revenue are they going to take in, what people are going to travel, and what kind of sponsors are still even going to be there by the end of the season. You know, I mean, it costs millions of dollars to run a bowl, just a basic bowl game. Will that money even be there to pull it off? You know, that's another thing I don't think anybody's even talked about. You know, there's what, 48 bowl games right now? How many of those are going to survive this?
Half.
You know what I mean?
Or even the brands that are sponsoring it.
Well, you know, yeah. That, I mean, like, do you have the sponsors in the first place, followed by with all that drop in revenue, will a bowl even last? Like, will El Paso have a bowl?
Yeah, will the Cherry Bundy Tart Cherry Boca Raton Bowl survive?
Yeah.
I mean, Idaho Potato Bowl.
The big ones will. The big ones will be fine. The Rose, Orange, Sugar, you name it. They'll be fine. They'll have the backing, but you get a lot of these random bowls. They get a MAC team and a Conference USA team. They're not going to survive, is my
belt.
You had a bowl because of bad weather, right?
Yeah, Boise State and some Boston College, was it?
Yeah, something like that.
What's the game in Detroit?
The Quick Lane Bowl, Woodhouse Quick Lane Bowl,
Martyr City Bowl.
That's a MAC team bowl. So,
and Big Ten.
From my perspective, less bowl games is good.
Fewer.
I used to think that until I always caught myself watching every single one I could.
Yes, exactly.
Who's got that kind of time?
Football.
December 11th, I'm watching University of Ohio play Houston. I don't care. I'll watch it.
It was only until the past 2 years where I started not to want to watch bowl games because it just reminded me of the sadness of Nebraska not being out there. 3 years in a row, man.
It's all going to change.
Bowl games don't matter anymore. I always say, wait till your team doesn't go for 3 years.
Well,
that
you know, if you
walk ball to everything.
Yeah. Well, you always got to take it down to the sadness, Hoss.
Well, that I'm the harbinger of sadness on this episode.
So it is important to note, joking aside, that you know again, this is as we're coming to the end. We are going to miss you because not only do you, I've finished my beer. You're welcome.
Yeah, I do. I'm drinking water.
Yeah. Water, overrated. But for a long time, you've been known as the X's and O's guy on Coronation. But at least over on the podcast, you have brought a certain level of, I'm going to say, spunk and some cynicism. And that's, you know, that's a nice balance because I'm always Captain Optimism, and John is you know, the guy who's old enough to have seen it and done it all. So from that standpoint, we're going to have, I'm not sure if the shoes are going to be refilled, especially right away, because it might take some time.
Can I make a recommendation for a replacement?
Oh God.
Yes.
Evan Wiebe. Wiebe, come on down, man.
People want to hear a podcast where I spend an hour screaming at Evan. That's really what you want us to have, isn't it?
John, I would pay good money for that. Yeah, I think that's exactly what people want to listen to. Yes, absolutely.
You lose the X's and O's analysis, but you gain just good humor.
I vote yes.
Yeah, see?
Well, as one of the hosts thank of God the Five Heart podcast. What, Patrick?
Thank God I got my own podcast.
Right. and as one of the co-hosts, I do get a pretty sizable vote. You know, I'm like a majority shareholder here. So there may be auditions is all I can say. But we have been given the notification from Zoom that we are in our final 10 minutes because I'm poor and can't afford to upgrade to Zoom Pro. We're just going to go around the table real quick to our guests who are joining us to kind of give a few remarks about Haas. Nate, because geographically you are farthest away, you get to go first.
Oh, yeah. Thanks. I think when you first came in, like, you always brought the entertainment to the Slack chat. It was always fun to hear about your troubles with the ladies or successes. That's up for debate. Yeah, it was always good to have you around, and you always had a lot of good insight, and it was always kind of good to pick your brain about different stuff. Yeah, it sucks that you're going to go, but it seems like you're on to... I'm sure you're going to have lots of success wherever you go, and yeah, best of luck, Haas.
Thanks, Nate. Thanks. I appreciate the kind words. A lot of irreverent humor to the CN After Dark.
And the good news is, even though you're not on Coronation of the Five Heart Podcast, until John says so, I'm pretty sure you still have access to the Slack chat room, so you do have the benefit of hopping in those hashtag CN Slack After Dark. Patrick, you're up next.
I'm sure everybody will wax poetic about your articles that you put out, especially in regards to the offenses, the defenses that we've had historically at Nebraska through multiple coaches, multiple offensive coordinators. You broke them down beautifully. I'll personally miss all the stories you told, especially, you know, UNO softball. Never knew much about them before you came on board. Those were great stories. And on top of that, I will miss having a fellow lifter on Coronation. So it was good to have you on here.
Thanks, man. Hey, what's your bench up to these days?
My bench. I quit counting bench 7 years ago, dude.
Good man. I'm totally towards squat now. Yeah, bench is just something I do to pass the time.
Yeah, exactly. All right, I can only buy so many dress shirts, man.
Yeah, the neck, the shoulders, yeah, yep, totally get it.
All right, Paul.
I hope that whenever we get around to actually writing something, that it is as detailed and authoritative and I hope that folks eventually look at what I do as being as good and as knowledgeable as yours is. Or, conversely, if that's all bullshit and you just have us all snowed, then I would be perfectly fine with that as well. But I'm going to tell you, Haas, I've never actually read anything that you've written all the way to the end, because it is so dense with X's and O's, and that is absolutely not my forte. You seem to be really good at the stuff that happens before the play. I can break it down afterwards, but you have a gift and an ability to see the field in a way that almost nobody does. And man, we're just really going to miss you. I can't see Coronation ever really replacing that. Because I've never seen that ability in anyone else. So I am certain that you're going to make a good, solid career. Jill. Although being able to bullshit people is come in handy, too.
Jill?
Thank you, Paul.
I learned that as a consultant.
Sometimes you just got to give them the old snow job.
Yep. Confidence and an ability to bullshit. Will go a long, long way. John's nodding his head.
That basically describes my student teaching experience. Yep.
Anyway, so that's what I got to say.
Thank you, Paul.
Yeah, I'll just throw in that I love reading. I learned a lot from your articles. And I'm also, I've also enjoyed, you were such an optimist when you first joined CM. You know?
We beat it out of him. I think that's what she's saying.
We did. I don't think we did. I think Husker football, I think Mike Riley did, but.
The Minnesota game in 2017. Part of my soul.
I noticed a marked change in you, Haas. You have come to earth as a realist. So welcome to our world, and enjoy graduate school. That was my favorite part of my entire educational life, was graduate school. So enjoy it.
Thank you. I've heard a lot of people say the same thing too. You know, that they're like, grad school is better than undergrad. Enjoy it. I'm like, who knows? Like, thesis is already waiting to be written.
All right, so we have one last-minute addition to the show. Nate McHugh joined us just a moment ago. Nate, you missed the bulk of the show, but you're here for the most important part. We've been doing just a quick roundtable. We're all sending off Haas. You're obviously welcome to come back on the show anytime, but right now we just got to keep it short, and you got to tell us all what you're going to miss about Haas the most, aside from his dashing smile.
Well, actually, Haas is the only one who's ever actually been to my law office. He's visiting.
He's the only one who ever needed to.
Yeah, actually, and I'm going to violate some attorney.
So I call him counselor.
Yep. I'm going to violate some attorney client privilege here. He actually hired me to review a contract. He was going to write the next, I think it was Team Umizoomi movie, I think.
It's my secret hobby.
Yeah, and my little pink pony or whatever, and so I reviewed those contracts for him, and he's that's in the works. So
how awesome I paying for grad school?
Yep, and so if you ever want to, you know, if you see a Team Umizoomi football episode, that's going to be Haas. So I wish I could hear everyone else what everyone else said.
You can when you download and listen to the show.
Yes, you are a professional, Greg. I mean, you're. No, I would say that Haas was very. When I was new, he was one of the first to kind of welcome me as far as back and forth. And did I learn a lot from his articles? Yeah, I did. I also learned that I did not know a lot. If that makes sense.
So that's how I feel every time I break down film.
Yeah, it's like, man, there is a lot I do not know, but I'm learning a little bit here. So that was great for, you know, Haas is great. He's obviously well-respected by a lot of other people outside of coordination, you know, who, like Chaz from SoCal, who, you know, seems to hit up Haas, you know, every day about a film clip and, you know, so that's great for him. So, did we talk about what he's actually going to do yet? Because I have no idea.
Yes.
I mean, okay.
Yeah. And we got a minute left. So, you know.
Oh, the radio segment. Or, okay.
The Zoom meeting ends in 1 minute.
Okay. Never mind then. Go ahead. Greg, take it off. I don't care. Or Haas.
Well, John and I have already spoken our piece. Haas, again, as we mentioned at the top of the show, and to fill you in, Nate, is accepted to the grad program at University of Nebraska-Lincoln, where he hopes to eventually become a college football coach, and we have all the faith in the world in him because he's just that good. He's just that knowledgeable and just that gosh darn likable. So this is it. Haas, we're going to miss you, buddy. And we're going to end the show the way we end every show, with Haas having the final words. For myself, Greg Mahochko, for John Dam Johnston, our founder and fearless leader, and for Haas Reuter for the final time. We remind you this week and every week that 5 heart is all the heart you need. John?
Go Big Red, and I am not going to say goodbye to Haas because nobody ever really leaves Cornell.
Let's do this over again.
What?
You paused too long for the Go Big Red.
I paused?
Yeah.
All right.
Now you're a fucking critic. Last show, you're a critic.
Last one. I just want to go out on a high note.
All right.
Okay, fine.
Five heart is all the heart you need. John?
Go, Big Red!
Win the damn game.
And I'll take with me the memory to be my sunshine after the rain. It's so hard to say goodbye to yesterday.